another exclusive live session with the Hype Magazine.
You need to stop what you're doing. Pay attention.
World famous
Hype Magazine. Going down right now.
Hey, what's good, everybody? And welcome to another live session with the Hype Magazine, my man. Today, I've got our LA editor, Mr. Juan Gonzalez, a.k.a. DJ Lust. We're going to call him DJ Lust throughout the podcast, but he is a top videographer, video correspondent, interviewer, and he handles the Hype Magazine brand out there on the West Coast in Los Angeles right now. Today, we're going to do a quick recap of the February 10th 61st Grammy, and DJ Lust was on hand for the Hype Magazine, man, to break it down for us.
Definitely. Good morning, Jerry.
Hey, good morning, man. It's amazing. I'm always amazing. You know how I go.
Always amazing. You know, I'm stoked about the award still. You know, it's every time I go out, every time you guys send me out, it just gets bigger and bigger. And, man. You know, this they don't lie when they say it was the biggest night in music.
Yeah, it was the biggest night in music. It was amazing. Yo, you earned your stripes, man. You don't have to thank nobody. You earned your place. Let's give him a little rundown, though, of DJ Lust before we get into the Grammys, man, so everybody can understand who we have out there rocking us and rocking the grand out there in Los Angeles. DJ Lust, okay. Street music, all that.
You know, I've always been interested in the music business and entertainment, but I could say it really started when I attended the Musicians Institute of Hollywood. You know, that for music business, I studied music business, and that's when things really began to happen for me. Whether it was my first internship, working with an R&B artist at shows and doing his street team promotion, and every opportunity that came after that led me to where I am today. I created my own website called realstreetmusic.com, and that's mainly focused on independent artists in hip hop, you know, who are just coming up and need a platform. I've done plenty of street team promotion for big artists, mainstream artists all across the Los Angeles area, like Future, DJ Khaled, you know, the list goes, Meek Mill, the BET Experience, you know, I've been doing the street team promotion for about 6 years. My story goes far. I don't know how much you want to hear of it. Yeah, I would take a whole hour here, you know, just going back and stuff. But, you know, shout out to Caviar, Cannon Entertainment. He's the one that introduced me to you, Jerry. And, you know, I appreciate him for, he's a good friend, you know, and putting me in the position to live my dreams through the Hype Magazine, you know, because that's what I'm doing now, living my dreams and you know, building my resume, and good things are coming.
Man, we're happy to have you, man. It was a blessing for both sides. Trust me. Thank you very much for being on the team. So, man, the Hype Magazine made its Grammy debut as a media outlet. You sat for us or covered for us from inside the media center, inside the interview room. But let's talk about, I mean, it kicked off the night before with a walkthrough and all that good stuff. Just give us a little overview of your experience with the Grammy.
To pick up your credentials, it started a few days before the Grammys. So, you know, just heading over to downtown LA, the convention center, and walking in there and actually getting my badge and seeing my picture on it and the Hype Magazine, the Grammys. And it was just an amazing feeling from the beginning, you know, and that was just picking up the credentials. So, you know, the day before the Grammys, we had a media walkthrough where we got to see everything from the red carpet to, you know, the actual media center where we held our coverage. And that felt good to be a part of, too, because you're around and mingling with other correspondents and media outlets. And, you know, the Hype Magazine is right there with the best of them. You know, there's every media outlet that you could think of, they are there covering this event, and we're one of them.
That was dope. You're in there with Billboard, People Magazine, everybody.
Anybody you can think of. You know, everybody has their space.
That was dope. We had our own space, your own table. But you said that there was a gallery of people without their own space.
There was some, like, chairs. There was chairs. For, you know, I don't know what the difference was, but you know, we actually had our own table to broadcast from and our power outlets, and the accommodations was great. You know, they gave us lunch. In front of us, we had the actual program, you know, from the Grammy Awards. It's a thick book, you know, and then we had all our cheat sheets and a full nominations list, you know, folder with just a bunch of little stuff, you know, information about the Music Modernization Act.
How you end up with a Grammy hat, though? I saw the Grammy hat.
Oh, shit, I bought that myself because I was so, when I bought my, you know, when I went to the media, I seen it the day that I picked up my credentials. I knew I wanted it. Then when I went to the media walkthrough, I said, I need to get a hat. Because I love these hats. It's not the snapback. It's kind of like the other kind. But
the slider? The slider with the glass? Okay.
I got the white one, and, you know, with the Grammy logo. I was going to get the black one, but this white one just looked tight. And I kind of stuck out because I was wearing all black, but my hat was white. So their merchandise is dope. You know, they got Grammy hoodies and T-shirts.
Okay. All right, man. Let's get in. Like, you got in early at 10:30 in the morning. I think we stopped rocking. It was like what, midnight your time, and on the West Coast. So it was a full day experience. Luckily, they did feed you. They treated y'all with some love. That's amazing. So talk to me about the award situation itself and what you observed. I heard you got to kicked off of the first floor. You're supposed to be in the media center. You got your Rome on, huh?
Yeah, a little bit, because you know me, I'm always on time, and if they say be there at 10:30, I was there at 9:30, you know what I'm saying? You always got to be an hour early in this business, you know, just to get the feel of the atmosphere and grow into it and not show up late. But, you know, by 10:30, the media center was still kind of empty, so I figured I had some time to kill. I actually got to see a piece of Camila, the girl who sings Havana.
Camila Cabello?
Yes. You know, I actually had a chance to see a piece of her performance because, you know, they were filming it early, and their stage presence was amazing. You know, whoever watched the Grammys, you could see that, you know, they had a lot of props on stage, and it looked like a small hotel or city or something. You know, it was just, it was awesome.
Amazing.
And it's amazing how they got so many people working to tear down that performance and put up the next one, you know. But, yeah, the media center, once we settled in, you know, it was just basically the winners. Whoever wins, they would come up. If they're willing to talk to press, they would, you know, they would come to the media center, and people would line up with their questions ready and be able to ask the artists questions. I think it was mostly the, you know, the newer artists who were, like, first-time Grammy winners, like, of course, we were looking forward to seeing Cardi B, and, you know, I feel like mostly the ones who are new and fresh and just getting their first Grammy, they were the ones that were willing to give press.
Okay. So the bigger stars were kind of shying away from the press because they're always in the press anyway.
Yeah, well, because, you know, people were waiting, like, oh, where's Cardi B? Like, that was like, and then when the lady told us, well, nobody else is coming back, that was about, you know, 9:30 at night. So that's when I wrapped it up and headed out, but the artists who did come and give press, it's a good feeling to see them live and in person and interacting with your actual questions. And they all have good answers and professionalism.
Okay, let's go. Now, we were on the phone late last night. You said, Cardi B just walked by me.
It was actually the girl who sings, Ella May. Yeah, Ella May is who walked by me. Yeah, and she has the single Boot Up. Yeah, I wish it was Cardi B. That would have been awesome. But Ella May is dope. She had that big giant dress. It was a blue dress, and it hung behind her.
Okay, all right.
I got to see her up close.
Of the interviews that came through, like you said, it was a lot of the new newer artists who were just catching their first, or you know, it was not so run of the mill for them. You know, like they win something every year. Who seemed to be the most excited, you know what I mean, like full of energy at the interview?
Nobody was, you know, like really extra, you know, doing anything like extra. But, you know, some of the people that I did see were people who produced with Childish Gambino. He wasn't there, but they accepted the award for him for the song This Is America. And you know, they were still willing to answer questions, and people wanted to know why Childish Gambino wasn't there, and you know, they were just willing to answer questions and talk about the recording process as good as possible without him being there and still be able to represent and mm-hmm. accept the award.
Did they say why he wasn't there?
No, they didn't have an answer. You know, they weren't able to say. They just said that, you know, that sometimes they wonder about several things that he does, but. So, okay. You know, they didn't have a direct answer as to why he wasn't there, but they were still willing to come out and accept the award for him, you know, as being part of the record and answer questions. I thought that was cool. You know, they got to enjoy that moment.
One of the sound bites that I heard that you got last night was the eternal legend, Buddy Guy, the guitarist of all guitarists. And he was talking about, you know, radio and starting out hearing radio from the AM stations and the difference between radio now. Give us a little sense of you know, Buddy Guy, and who's won like, what, 150 Grammys probably for this, that, and the other, and what he was talking about with radio today.
I figured he was a, you know, more of a legendary artist. He won Best Traditional Blues Album, and, you know, I could tell he was just a, you know, a Hall of Famer around there. And so it's good that he was willing to come up and do press. And when it came to the question about radio, he was explaining how jazz is no longer a part of radio. And, you know, you hear mostly the same genre and the same songs played over and over again these days.
I was listening to radio when we had the AM stations, and this guy could play what he wanted. And you would hear great gospel, great jazz, and a great blues. But now you turn on your radio, I don't want to criticize nobody. I guess they know more about that than me. But they don't play the Muddy Waters no more. They don't play the Lightning Hopkins anymore, you know. They just play the same records over and over. And I got children that know who I was until they turned 21 and walked into the blues club and said, Dad, I didn't know you could do that.
Because there's a lot of other outlets nowadays, and it's not only radio. Mm-hmm. And radio is very selective on what is hip and modern in music. And, you know, obviously jazz is not something that they're playing on the radio these days. So mm-hmm. how would you know that Buddy Guy, you know, is one of those, you know, is a legend that he is, unless you go and search up his catalog or, you know, stream it from somewhere, anywhere else besides mm. radio.
As a music professional yourself, how do you feel about that?
I feel like there should be more outlets that are even willing to play multiple genres. Like me, myself, if I had like a whole 24 hours in a day to do different segments, I would switch it up. I wouldn't just stick to one genre. You know, I would have a old school hour. I would have a jazz hour. I would have an R&B hour. I would have, you know, there's even so many different genres of hip hop itself. You know, I would go into 90s rap. I would go into trap. I would go into the early 2000s. I would go into 80s hip hop. You know, the stuff that pioneered hip hop. Like, that's how I feel.
That's dope that you say it like that, because another piece, I guess Shaggy was talking about, you know, the impact of reggae or dancehall on other genres when he got to the mic. Talk to us about Shaggy and what he had to say about the mix of music, rock and dancehall and that kind of stuff, pop music and shit like that.
Well, he has his latest collaboration with Sting, and they actually won the award for Best Reggae Album. And Sting is known as a, not known as a reggae artist, but he tapped into this other genre collaborating mm-hmm. with Shaggy. And Shaggy was letting us know that if you listen to Sting's old records, like With the Police and I'll Be Watching You and other songs, they were actually written in Jamaica. Sting is a fan of reggae, and they have, you know, some of those songs have reggae influence in them.
We got in the studio and we were just like two little kids, you know, we were just like two brothers, you know what I mean? And he's been a big fan of reggae music because obviously With the Police, a lot of the early Police stuff were, you know, kind of a hybrid reggae vibe. you know, and he was a big fan of some of my greats, you know, from Steel Pulse to, you know, the early reggae track, Dennis Brown, all these guys. And a lot of people don't know that songs like Every Breath You Take, songs like Magic, you know, Every Little Thing You Do Is Magic, King of Pain, those songs were written in Jamaica at Goldeneye on the desk of Ian Fleming, where he wrote the James Bond novel. And those songs were, you know, a massive, massive record. So there's a magic that is from my island. And, you know, I think that's kind of what just hit us to make this into a project, where you just, you know, move from that one song into doing a bunch of songs and saying, hey, you know, let's put it out and see what people say. And matter of fact, we don't care what they say, we're going to put it out.
You know, because I remember Shaggy and Mr. Bombastic and all the stuff that he's done. So I it was good to see him still relevant these days and receiving a Grammy Award. And then it was just interesting to see who he's collaborating with, like Sting. And it's just like, it's not something that you can, that you would have predicted that happened.
Hey, one of the great positives of the night was from the hip hop side. J-Rock, who missed his previous appearance a few years back, because he got into this massive bike accident. You got an opportunity to speak with him and ask him a question or so. How did he tell you that, you know, this Grammy, what did he tell you this Grammy meant for him?
It was a tie, actually, between his song and Anderson .Paak's song.
So, oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
So Kendrick Lamar, J-Rock, Future, and James Blake, you know, won the award for King's Dead in Best Rap Performance, but it was a tie with Bubbling by Anderson .Paak. So, obviously, Kendrick Lamar wasn't there to receive the award. So, you know, it was good to see J-Rock go ahead and get that credit, being that he wasn't able to attend, you know, the years before due to his bike accident. And he mentioned that.
I mean, it means a lot, man, because I worked hard, man, you know what I mean? Like once again, I want to thank the Grammys, you know what I mean? Especially all the fans, you feel me? And, yeah, man, like, man, 3 years ago, I was supposed to be at the Grammys, you feel me? But unfortunately, I was in a bad bike accident, you know what I mean? So I was kind of laid up with broken bones, watching a homie do his thing, you know what I mean? And, you know what I mean? 3 years later, man, you know what I mean? I worked hard, and look at it. That's crazy, man, you know what I mean? I'm still speechless right now, you know what I mean? But it just showed me, man, hard work and dedication, man. This just only the beginning for me, man, for sure.
You know, so it was an honor for him to actually be able to be there, you know, and just be nominated, and then but to actually hold the award and receive the credit. And you know, he said he does it for his people back home. He does it for the people that need to know that it's possible from where he comes from. You know, maybe he could influence people to keep going and keep working, because it's possible. And you know, he plans on releasing another album soon, and he said hopefully that'll be this year. J-Rock, I remember him from you know, when Kendrick and TDE first started coming out and doing mixtapes and stuff, and J-Rock was always a figure. And it's amazing to see, you know, cats who were street artists actually at that Grammy level. So, you know, anything is possible.
Yeah, man. Talk about street level. Nipsey Hussle was in the mix. I mean, he was nominated. That was amazing for the West Coast. And for when you talk about West Coast street rappers, you know what I mean? Cats that get in the mud. So J-Rock is a big name within the independent people who actually came up, pulled up their bootstraps, laced their boots up to the top, and made something out of what could have been nothing.
You know, just the whole TDE camp and as an independent label and going as hard as they do, you know, they're really an example of how to make things happen. And, you know, they don't have a large roster, but, you know, the artists that they do have, they hold it down. One thing that I did want to mention was how the Grammy Awards was based around the Motown sound, you know, tribute to Motown.
Right.
Smokey Robinson was there. Diana Ross performed. Jennifer Lopez did a tribute. I like how much Motown was mentioned and the songs were covered.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what made it a great show too. And Alicia Keys did her performance of, you know, she covered a few different songs I'd Wish I'd Written medley, and That was dope. She killed it. She hosted the night. She killed her performance. And it's always a pleasure to see Alicia Keys. She's one of my favorite female artists. You know, that was awesome.
Okay. There was a bunch of female artists. I mean, it was female dominated.
Females are being more recognized in categories and for different stuff that was mostly male dominated.
It was an amazing night for some of the most powerful women and powerful voices. Just happened to be female coming out of the industry last night. I was watching. I'm going, oh, wow. Oh, wow. Another woman. They kicking ass tonight. Oh, wow. Miss Musgraves got the shock of her life. You know what I mean? Getting that last what was it, album of the year. And
I
looked
seen
like,
that.
What the hell? You saw that?
Yeah, I seen that. She was like really surprised that she won. And she also did press. And when she came in, you know, people were asking her questions. And for some reason, a few artists kept getting cut off during their acceptance speech last night.
Yeah. Alicia Keys made a comment on that.
Kacey Musgraves, you know, she was just thankful. And I don't think that she seen it coming, you know, but she thanked her team. And of course, they know that they have a strong team behind them. And once they actually have the award in their hand, I think they realize, like, well, you know what? We do deserve it. We did work hard.
To me, radio isn't necessarily the mark of what makes good music. That's not what I had in mind when I was making this album. And it's been really amazing and incredible to see it do some really wild, gratifying, unbelievable things, going further than I ever thought that it could. I'm just really thankful. I mean, streaming's been a big part of it. My team working really hard. My publicist working his ass off. My band and my road family working very hard. And ultimately, I feel like it's just, it lets me know that it doesn't really matter where someone hears your music. It's if they connect or not.
Hey, back to that getting cut off. Alicia Keys made the comment. She says, oh, the Q music is getting shorter and shorter. coming faster and faster. I was like, they didn't want people to get up there and make political statements. I got to ask you, you know, as a DJ and a music professional man and a music business expert, do you think that these artists should just perform, take their awards, and shut the fuck up and go away? Or,
in my opinion, I believe that you should never cut somebody off when they're speaking from the heart. You know, they're speaking from the heart. They may have something to say. You know, they're a public figure who obviously they're in the position that they're in because people listen to them and attract to them. So I think they should be able to express what's on their heart, what's on their mind. And given that, I think they should be given the time span to do it. But I also understand that, you know, the Grammys is its own platform, and they may have rules and regulations, and it might not be the time or place to do that, you know. So it's kind of a thin line, because as an artist, you want to take the biggest platform and speak what's on your mind, but at the same time, it's somebody else's platform, you know, and you're, you know, that you're trying to utilize to get your message across, and they have the power to shut it down. So,
right.
You know, it's just, yeah, do you figure out a way to, you know, how do you get as many viewers as the Grammys to listen to what you're trying to say? Because if you make a little YouTube video or something, you might get to so many amount of people, but how many millions of people are watching the Grammys or watching the Super Bowl? And you could try to sneak a few words in there, but they have the power to shut you down, just like they cut people off yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's why, you know, some of them got wise and put their social commentary at the beginning, you know what I mean, of their acceptance speech.
Yeah, because, you know, it's definitely interesting to hear artists, you know, because all we hear is art from them. All we see is art. Mm-hmm. All we hear is music. That's why I love doing interviews, because you could actually sit with the person and question them and open up different areas that you wouldn't know that they were about or that they believed in or that they've experienced, you know. But it's just our platforms are not as big as these corporate platforms, so the message won't get across to as many people.
And is there anything else that stood out for you last night that you want to cover? Go ahead, bro.
Brandi Carlile. I'm not sure if I said that right. But she won 3 Grammy Awards back to back, you know, for Best American Roots Performance, Best American Roots Songs, Songwriters, Best American Album. She's a, you know, fairly new artist, and, you know, winning 3 Grammy Awards back to back, that was amazing. She actually came and did press, mm-hmm. and we have a little clip of that as well.
I feel like compartmentalization of genre is not entirely a good thing, but when it comes to genre, I'm really quite fond of the one that I come from, because I feel like it's a genre that looks around and it notices people that aren't being seen everywhere else, and it picks out people that it doesn't feel has a place, and it gives them a platform if they think that their music is exceptional. And the way that I've been embraced by Americana music and roots and country music has been heartening to me as a gay kid from Seattle. It's been a big deal in my life, and I appreciate it very much.
Hey, our man DJ Lusk, man, was up in the mix. And also, you know, for all these nominees and stuff, you can check out the Grammy nominees album. It's available now. It's on Republic Records. It's a collection that features 22 hits from the world's biggest superstars and emerging artists. You can go to 2019grammy.com. It's on Amazon, iTunes, Target, Walmart. You know what I mean? Some of the people on there, Janelle Monáe, Cardi B, Bad Bunny, and J Balvin for I Like It. I love that song, man. I Like It. I Like It Like That. Kendrick Lamar and SZA for All the Stars. Drake, God's Plan. Yo, speaking of Drake, man. So yeah. He accepts the award, and then this is the Grammy?
No, you know what? I feel like, you know, of course, you can feel either way. You know, because right. All he was saying was that to the person who is a voice in their city or who has people following them and coming to their shows already, you know, you've somewhat already made it. You don't necessarily need to be on the biggest platform and holding a piece of gold in your hand, you know, to accept that credit. And I don't think that he was being, you know, what is the word?
Disrespectful.
No, I don't think he was being disrespectful or at all or unappreciative. I just feel like he was making a statement, because if, you know, like some artists didn't even show up to the Grammy to receive their award. So I feel like that's more disrespectful. At least he showed up and accepted the award, you know, and he was just giving a message that to other people out there who probably look at this platform like, oh, I'm not there, so I don't hold enough value. But yo, you do hold value. There are people who look up to you. There are people who listen to you. There are people who come out to see you and follow everything that you do. You have a platform. You are being a voice and in the position to influence others. So you've already won there.
I liked your analogy on that one. That was cool. I was like, he didn't diss. I mean, he was just trying to give some... I took it as a self-esteem, inspirational kind of piece. Like, yo, don't let this determine your value or make you think that it determines your value. You know what I mean?
So, and who better to say it than somebody who's actually standing there with the Grammy in your hand? Like,
exactly.
Like it's different from hearing it from somebody who's not in that position. But you hear somebody in that position letting you know, then you know it's real. Mm-hmm. And Cardi B, won, you know, she won the award for
Mac Miller.
Best Rap Album. And she you could tell she wanted to break down. And it was just a milestone in her career, you know, because you just feel it. Like, she deserves it. She worked hard. And she really didn't have the exact words. And I like how she keeps her character. She's herself. She don't try to bubblegum it out, you know. She's herself. She's a Latina. You know, I'm proud of that. You know, she has a big position right now in hip hop, and it's just awesome to see her accept the award. And you could tell that she felt it, and everybody was proud. You know, people in the press room clapping and stuff, like, you know, people. We really wanted to interview her.
Yeah, but she wasn't doing press.
You know, I don't know if it got too late or you know, maybe she had to be somewhere else or something. But you know, I know people in the press room were like, oh. Waited all the way to the end, like, Cardi B, Cardi B. And then when they said nobody else was coming, it was like, let's go.
I'm proud for her, man.
I feel like she's somewhat comedy, you know. It's funny to see her when, you know, when she talks. And I could see her doing other things, you know, maybe like coming, you know, maybe like a movie role or something one day.
That would be dope. I would pay to go see that. I would spend my money to go see her acting, because I think she'd be great. I think that whatever she brings to the table, whatever she does, she's going to bring full energy, you know, her full respect for whatever it is that she's doing and doing it well. So that's dope. Yeah, so to the clown who put out that picture of him and Cardi B when she was at an early stage of her career, really literally getting it out the mud, fuck you. You know what I mean? And I couldn't help myself. I was a little pissed off, man. All right. So, man, as we close out, I'm going to give you the floor, man.
No, I just want to, you know, give a special thanks to Jamila and you, Jerry. You know, the Hype magazine in general, you know, for providing the opportunity for me to go and cover and, you know, work and do what I've always dreamed to do, which is work in the entertainment business. And, you know, I'm a reliable person that's going to try my best to take advantage of all opportunities that come my way. And, you know, I never dreamt that I would be at the Grammys, you know, because you literally need an invite. You know, you can't just show up to the Grammys, you know. And
can't
a lot of my peers.
Can't buy tickets either.
Yeah, you know, a lot of my peers and people that I've, you know, been coming up with in the business, they can't say that they've been to the Grammys. So it's just a good feeling. You know, it's a good feeling. And, you know, being in the media room and able to be a part of the interview process and around other media outlets, it just shows me that it's real. Like, this is really happening. And, you know, building my resume and the opportunities to come, it's just no limit.
The Hype Magazine Live Sessions. We had DJ Los. He is our L.A. editor. He's an amazing cat. Go check out our photo recap on Instagram. You can check him out at DJ Los, DJLUOS on Instagram and Twitter. You can check us out, The Hype Magazine Network on Instagram, and get a bar of them amazing shots and some audio pieces. Catch us on Facebook. There's a photo album from the Grammys last night. You know what I'm saying? The Hype Magazine on Facebook. The Hype Magazine on Twitter. The Hype Magazine Network on Instagram. And, of course, stay tuned and subscribe to the podcast. You're going to hear DJ Luff back with more. The Hype
DJ
Magazine Luff. Live session.
DJ LUOS.
Dope. And we're out.